everyone. You are listening to Passion to Profession podcast. I'm your host, Ash, bringing you inspiring stories of those who have followed their passion to create their own path to success. And today I have with me my really good friend from LinkedIn, Amy Blaschka. Amy has made a career offering stories as a service, meaning she's passionate about helping leaders craft their stories to communicate and connect better. So she is a social media ghostwriter and a leadership contributor at Forbes, where she covers personal transformation and its impact on career growth. Amy, I'm so excited to have you as my guest today. Welcome to my show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ash. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. You know, it's such a pleasure. And we actually go back LinkedIn wise, you know, it's been a while and we've followed each other's work for a while now. So this conversation is kind of long overdue, I feel.
Yeah, you're right. I know. It's funny. LinkedIn time becomes like, how many years ago? What was that? You're right. We're long overdue. So I'm glad that we're making it happen today.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I have talked to Sarah Elkins and Kimberly Davis, mm-hmm. who were here on the show earlier. Yeah. And we just tried to go back, you know, and we are like surprised. Oh, my gosh, it's been like years since we are connected, mm-hmm. you know. So
I know.
Yeah. So I know about your work a little bit, and I love the LinkedIn post that you put out there about the kind of work that you do. But for my listener community, since the concept of this whole ghostwriting is pretty new, could you share, you know, what exactly do you do?
I'm a social media ghostwriter, and I say a career storyteller. So I think the term ghostwriter throws people because I've heard, oh, isn't that cheating? Is it this? But really what I'm doing is helping leaders craft their own stories to communicate and connect better. So on the ghostwriting side, it's less about me coming up with content for them as it is me helping them as sort of the liaison and conduit to take their stories, their experiences, their insights, and translate them and transform them, frankly, into concise and compelling written posts. It's all about them sharing their wisdom. So it comes back to being thought leaders in their area of expertise and helping them stay in that wheelhouse and do that on a regular basis. So people come to see them as the experts that they are, and they naturally attract the audiences they are trying to reach through sharing that wisdom. On the storytelling side, their career story, it's really about positioning themselves for success. And when your story is accurate, when it really is a compelling narrative that weaves together all of your personal and professional experiences, you're able to change that positioning. And what happens is that people then, you know, you're able to change how they perceive, how they perceive you, how they pay you, how they partner with you, and promote you, frankly. So it's really, you know, these two things, though, they're kind of two sides of the same coin, so to speak. Because what often happens is that someone will come to me and say, I want to, you know, help me with social media ghostwriting. And if we're doing our jobs right, and naturally it will pique the interest of, you know, their ideal audiences who will go back to check, I want to learn more about Ash. What is she doing? And if what they're putting out into the world in terms of how they're presenting themselves is incongruent to the content they're putting out there, you're going to confuse people. And if you confuse them, you're going to lose them, right? So my job is to make sure there's clarity and alignment. So you're presenting yourself in such a way, and you're positioning yourself for success, so that if somebody, you know, if somebody goes to your profile first and then reads your content, there's, of course, it's the same person, it's all aligned, and it strengthens their personal brands that way.
Right. No, you know, I have observed on LinkedIn too, you know, I've seen so many posts that people just put out there and it doesn't really align. You know, sometimes it kind of throw off people and gets confusing and posts may make sense, but I can't kind of relate that post to that personality as such, you know, I have had that experience. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Or somebody's writing about something, you're like, that's great, but what do they do?
Exactly. Yeah. I have experienced that. And I feel that each one of us have a story. You know, we do have a story inside us, but it's just a matter of putting out in the right way to attract the right kind of people is what I feel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where your work becomes so, so relevant. And do you, Amy, do you focus on writing on social media specifically, or do you help with any kind of ghostwriting, like books and stuff?
Well, I will say I focus on social media ghostwriting because I think it's important to have the focus. I have ghostwritten business books in the past, but I will tell you, it's extremely difficult to do with having a client roster and doing that because when you're ghostwriting a book, it's like all consuming and you really have to focus on a single client. And that's been great. It's really, I really like the idea of focusing and working with others. So these days I will politely decline those inquiries, and I will refer them to somebody else who can help them. I always try to do that because I think there's a real power in niching down and really having specificity on how you can help somebody. Mm. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, can I write web copy? Could I write a press release? Yeah. All these different specialties. Yes, I can. But, is that the highest and best use of my talents? No, you know, and there are some instances where I've had clients where I've written their career stories, and that includes several elements that they can use, you know, either on their own websites, about pages, bio pages, the way they're positioning themselves, where it naturally lends itself to a tweak here or there because, oh, but can you just this extra thing? But it's always rooted in kind of those two fundamental areas that I work in. So that's a long way to say, no, I focus on social media.
No. And I feel, you know, it is good in a way because I think that social media has become such an integral part of personal branding. If we cannot avoid it in any way at all, like if we want our voice to be heard, social media provides the most ideal platform. And and best thing that I like about putting my content out there is just getting visibility from people like all over. Like social media has absolutely no boundaries as such.
That's right.
So I agree with you. You know, it's probably like the most powerful tool when it comes to like the personal branding.
That's right. Well, it has this tremendous ability to have reach, right? And I always advocate for using social media for good because certainly that reach and, you know, the way something can go viral, it can be picked up. I always practice what I preach, but I always advise my clients to use it for good. To, you know, yes, not everything has to be like roses and unicorns, but certainly if you steer on the positive side where you're more about value and service and you are sharing your own personal stories that can be uplifting, can be helpful to others that may be going through a similar struggle, that's the best use of that because, you know, we all know there's a lot of social media that is unfortunately super negative, divisive. There's already enough of that. So I feel like, you know, the more of us that can use social media for good, the better to kind of counterbalance that. And there is tremendous reach. And particularly now in 2020, when so many of us, I mean, the entire world has been affected, right, by COVID. Mm-hmm. Whereas you might have been like, oh, I'll go see a client or present in person, you can't. So having a presence, a strong presence that aligns with who you are and highlights the value that you bring and your expertise and your differentiation is crucial now more than ever. So yes, I think, and if people like, you know, if you want to know somebody about somebody, you probably will Google them. What comes up, you know? And so this is an opportunity to control that narrative.
Yeah.
And to direct it in such a way that, you know, it's not just left to chance, right?
Right.
You know, that it's not just some random things that, oh, you forgot about. So absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And that too, now, you know, more than ever, it kind of matters, I think, the most. So because with the way that things are going, I don't see things coming back to normalcy anytime soon. We're probably like 5 to 6 months into this pandemic situation. So still waiting on vaccine. Yeah. But very, very true with regards to social media. And when you were actually talking about, you know, using the social media for doing good, it kind of reminded me of my previous episode that I just posted, actually, where title is called The Better India Story. So these the founders that I spoke to, they have built their whole business around the concept of doing good, and they're profitable. They're doing extremely well, but their whole website and the social media is all about delivering impact and highlighting the stories of change makers and unsung heroes. So that was like, directly, it aligned with whatever we were saying. So That's fantastic. So, Amy, I have known you for a couple of years now, but I'm always, you know, kind of curious to know how you started. You know, what was your initial years of life career before becoming a full-time writer?
Okay, so I have what I call a very non-linear career path to becoming a full-time writer. And it's funny, the more I talk to other writers, the more I realize this is true, and of other people as well. Not, it's rare these days that someone is in the same job for their entire career.
That's right.
For me, I was always the creative child, right? I was always the kid, believe it or not, people don't believe me, that I was extremely shy, quiet as a child, and very much observing the world around me. And I would be the kid in the corner, writing stories, painting pictures, that sort of thing. So the idea of being a creative person is really, I can't remember a time that I wasn't, you know, and I was always, even growing up in my family with my two sisters, it was, well, you're the creative one, you're the creative one. Because I was always doing funky things like that. And why not?
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to be a creative person as a professional. And I always enjoyed writing, but, you know, I was like, how could I do this? Whatever. I earned my degree actually in film and media because I thought, wow, what a better way to express my creativity and kind of vision than working collaboratively with a team to produce something tangible, to tell a story and have something to show for it. And so, you know, I thought with that degree, and then I had a minor in communications, and I kind of waffled between, do I want to be this? Do I want to be focused on writing? But, you know, I thought I'd be a filmmaker. And shockingly, when I graduated from college, that was not, you know, I couldn't just jump into a job doing that. So I was like, well, what else is sort of creative adjacent? What else could I do? And kind of, I knew I wanted to be in an environment with other creative people. So I ended up in what I call agency land, right? Where I worked in advertising and marketing, a little PR on the side, and ultimately in branding, which I loved. And the funny thing is, though, is that most people go, oh, you worked in advertising, you were the copywriter, right? And no, actually, I was on the account side because I love people. People fascinate me, their behavior, all the psychological stuff is just super fascinating. But I found that I was always in the middle in a very good way. I was always the liaison. I was always the connector that I could speak, you know, metaphorically speaking, multiple languages. So I could talk to an art director and understand. I could talk to a, you know, copywriter and understand. I could talk to a client, understand, and just speak strategy. I could translate and go back and forth between these different groups and really be the one that pulls them all together as the connector. And with clients, and I love people, and I seem to have a knack for it. So I rose up the ranks through the account side, and ultimately, in as a branding consultant, my job was to really, you know, put together strategy, but be interfacing with the clients, but also be working very closely with the design crew and the production and people to kind of bring things to life. So while that was wonderful, while I was still in those environments, this was before I had children, before my husband and I decided to do that. And at the time, as a branding consultant working in San Francisco at a company called Landor Associates, I was traveling all over the country, which sounds very exciting and sexy until you're living out of a suitcase and only seeing, you know, the inside of like your hotel room, a board room you're presenting in, or a cab to and from the airport. And we knew that we wanted to start a family, and that wasn't really conducive to that. So after we had our first daughter, I did something shocking. I stayed home with her, which nobody thought. They're like, you're going to be a stay-at-home mom? And that was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. And after about a year, almost a year and a half, you know, we have two daughters. And the first time I was like, it's time for both of us to talk to people our own age. So I started to look around, and honestly, I was like, okay, I knew what I didn't and want to have the commute, because at this point we were living outside of San Francisco and there was a long commute in. I didn't want to have to jump on a plane because that didn't really work with having a kid, especially a small child.
Yeah.
And at the time, my best friend's husband was talking about how he had just become chair of the board of this nonprofit, this organization that was in tourism. And he was so excited. And literally the next time we talked to him, he said, oh my gosh, the CEO, you know, we had to put her on administrative leave. She had embezzled money. Oh my gosh. But now we need somebody great. Amy, wait a minute. You should go for this. And I'm thinking, travel and tourism, you know, and being a CEO, I worked in the corporate world. I've worked in nonprofit. So on a lark, I figured, what's the worst? Yeah, I'll interview because gosh, it's been a while since I've interviewed anywhere. I probably need to brush up on my skills. So I did. And long story short is unanimously that board said, yeah, we want you. And I mean, I stayed as the CEO of this destination marketing organization for almost a decade, just shot like a month shy of a decade.
And over 10 there, years. Wow.
Yes. So here's the thing about hospitality. It's very service oriented. Mm-hmm. It's all about ensuring that visitors have a great time. And, you know, as the CEO of that organization, our job, you know, my job was to have a team mm-hmm. that really told the story of a destination. So, you know, it was branding that destination as something that was attractive, that would appeal to a certain clientele, that they would come and they visit and they say good things and they go back and rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
So there is a common thread there, but I will tell you, I did that and I stayed in that probably that long because I was able to build and grow. And at my heart, I love the idea of transformation and my why is in fact inspiring transformation. So anytime I have a hand in a positive one, that really speaks to my soul. And I was able to do that running this small team and growing it and growing our territory and growing our budgets and growing all the good stuff. But, you know, you talk about creative, Amy, and that's pretty far from what I was doing day to day as a CEO was operationally driven, right? All the important things that a CEO needs to do. And yes, I use my people skills because we were funded by 5 different cities and my job was to be in the community and quite visible and relationship-based, right? Everything is making sure that everyone's happy and that, you know, we're working and collaborating together. But I wasn't creative Amy. And I was still writing on the side for myself, but not really doing anything. So when I left that job, I struck out on my own mm-hmm. and had my own consultancy. At the first, it was like low-hanging fruit of just working with like organizations, right? It's like, okay, I just spent a decade in tourism. Yes, I can work with another entity like this and I can consult and I can do things. And the straw that kind of broke the camel's back is I was just like, I was doing it and you know, you can be great at something and be miserable inside. You know, it's just, you know, you have talents and you work hard and you apply yourself as I did. I was getting good reviews and I had a healthy income coming in from this, but I just longed to be creative Amy. I wanted to be paid to write. I wanted that to be my profession. And the last assignment I accepted before I moved into becoming a full-time writer was to do an organizational audit for this tourism entity. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It was fine, but it was like, I'm dying inside, you know, and I can't do any more of this. I just can't. That was it. You know, that's the turning point. And at the time, you know, this is around the time that LinkedIn had opened up its content doors, right? Yeah. Remember, originally it had just specified certain influencers who were able to post content. And I had been posting some things and I got to be friends with someone who's a writer that I respected deeply. And he said, Amy, you're a writer. You need to write. You're creative, Amy. You need to be creative. Mm. Amy. Stop doing this other stuff. And, you know, it's funny because even though you can know something, but until somebody gives you that little encouraging nudge and you have to change the story you tell yourself, like, I am a writer. And so I was terrified. But when I started talking about myself as I'm a writer, now it's like, oh, of course you are. I mean, nobody would question that. But in my own brain, you know, I give everyone else the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, you're an expert. You're this. You know, myself, I have this imposter syndrome. It's crazy. That was when it was like, okay, so it's come full circle. I switched over my consultancy to a strategic writing practice and never looked back. There's been ups and downs. I mean, the entrepreneur life is not easy. Yeah. But along the way, you know, we talked about, you'd ask me, oh, do you do this time? Right. At first I was writing everything and anything because you're like, oh my God, I need, you know, jobs. I need to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really that it was good because that experimentation really helped me focus too on what I do best. And so, you know, what I do best is I find that brilliance in somebody. I help bring it out. I help them with clarity. And I feel really strong that I'm using my talents at their highest and best use. And that I am helping others because to me, it's having influence is great, but I want to have impact and I want to help others have that as well. So I finally, you know, I'm back to that little girl in the corner who's writing stories and stuff, you know.
You're back to, you're back to doing what you love the most from when you were a kid. It's come a full circle, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I agree. You know, sometimes all, we wouldn't know it, but just an encouraging nudge from the right person at the right time is pretty much all we need to kind of push ourselves out of the comfort zone to reach for something that we've always been trying to get it, right? And and I can somehow relate when I started podcasting too. Obviously, you know, huge imposter syndrome. Yes. I didn't have the skills or the confidence. And, you know, why would people even want to listen to me? Because I'm from the corporate world too, you know, and there was a period of time when I went through all of that self-doubt. And, you know, I like the way you put it as when we change our own story, you know, in the way we change our own monologue, in the way we talk to ourselves, that can kind of significantly affect the way that others perceive us. So when we call ourselves like podcaster, writer, it does give that sense of identity. So, and I think this kind of relates directly to the book that you wrote with Bruce, right? And there's so much of power in the story that we tell ourselves. I read the book and I actually even wrote an article on LinkedIn. So tell us a little bit about that book and how did that project, you know, happen and what inspired you guys to actually write about mindfulness?
Well, spoiler alert, that the encouraging nudge I mentioned earlier, that writer friend that I deeply respect.
I guess that,
it was Bruce, Bruce was the one who was like, Amy, you need to do this. So so we formed a friendship and I, you know, I loved the way that he wrote. I really, this is good and resonated with me. And we got to thinking and talking and we would work on some creative things together that, you know, never saw the light of day necessarily. But he said, you know, Amy, he's like, what do you think about this? I just had sort of an insight. What do you think about writing a book? It's a little different in that it's just going to be a series of passages and we'll take turns, you know, but let's have all of them start with the words, I am. Mm-hmm. And then we fill in the blank. And it can be, you know, Amy, I know, you know, you're a creative writer. It doesn't have to be limited to like logical, businessy, whatever. It can, you can let, you know, sort of your creativity fly. Let's see what happens. It was really more of an experiment. And we didn't tell anybody we were doing this. We just had a, you know, Google Doc we were sharing back and forth. We'd be like, okay, your turn. So he'd write something, I read something. And we'd read what the, you know, our partner had read or had written previously. And we'd react to that. And it just flowed. It was such a, it was really an exercise in creativity. But, you know, the idea behind it was that, you know, and kind of linking back to this, and I say this a lot, is, you know, the stories that we tell ourselves are the most important words we speak. Because once I started telling myself, I am a writer, you know, you start to believe it. Because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect anybody else to, right? Mm. But it's, you know, you can get into the things like, I am enough, I'm worthy, I'm this. But even this book was, it got into the weird and wild, and I love metaphors. So I am an oak tree, or I'm the ocean, which I love water. So that was mine, even though we don't specify. And the way they're written, unless, and even if, actually, you know, Bruce and I very well, I mean, we got to the point where we're like, wait, did you write that one or did I write that one? You know, so it was really the idea of giving people the opportunity. In each of these passages are short. They're very short. And the way that the physical book is put together is that it has the passage on one side of the page and the opposite page is left blank intentionally, because the idea is that it just prompts you to kind of take a minute for, you know, meditating, to just whatever you, you know, take a moment for yourself in this busy, chaotic world. Yeah. And this was published in, you know, a few years back, but now maybe we need to re-release it or something because everyone could use a little break. But
yeah, the idea exactly.
Is that this book is not, it's not linear. It is literally, I have one on my bedside. You can pick it up and just flip it open to any page and just read through it. And it gives you that brief respite to just sort of see what bubbles up and see what things and help you kind of think about your own stories and sort of get to a point where you can be mindful and be aware and sort of, you know, reflect on what matters most to you. And, you know, at different points of the day, of your life, different career seasons, it is helpful to do that on a regular basis. But we get so caught up in busy being busy, right? So few of us actually take the time and set this idea. So this was a way, even for the people who are like, I've never meditated in my life. I've never been my, you know, okay, it's literally a minute. Everybody has a minute. Everybody has a minute. So it really, you know, it was born out of a kind of a creative exercise, and it came to Bruce. It was his idea, but he said, you know, are you game? And I'm always game for a creative challenge. I'm like, yeah, of course. So we did this, and we wrote it. It came together very quickly. And then we had it together. We're like, well, what should we do with this? You know, let's make it a book, you know? So we did, and we have that. And, you know,
that's amazing.
Yes, it's really to, you know, escape those distractions. We talked about unlocking your imagination, unleashing your potential, so you could kind of create your own stories. And we encourage people to use that empty space to draw, to sketch, to write their own I am statements, or whatever bubbled up. So
it has been very inspiring. Like, I do remember reading it a while back. I do have a copy, and I did a few exercises. And I do remember some of the passages that really had a big impact on me. I don't remember the exact words, but there was something about courage on one of the pages where it says, you know, something about trying things, even if you're not completely ready, and to stop hiding. You know, I do remember that. And then there was another one in which says, I am enough. There were many of them that did have a big impact on me. It is definitely a very uplifting, it's a short book, but the messages are very, very relevant, and it can be read at any time, you know, feeling down or you need that quick boost of motivation. It's just a quick go-to book for me. But I, you know, after reading that, I can easily say that you do have the knack of inspiring others, Amy. So this was like, you know, the storytelling, ghostwriting, it just aligns very well to who you are. So, but one thing that I've noticed, Amy, you never actually advertise too much on LinkedIn. Like, you don't advertise your services. You're always kind of, you know, giving out that value, what people need. And I noticed that, and when I was prepping for this interview, I went through your website, and only then I kind of knew the exact services and everything. But you're not like blatantly kind of selling your services on LinkedIn, which I found very impressive too. You know, you're always trying to add value.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I walk the talk, because I tell my clients this. I say, you know, focus on serving, not selling. And I think, you know, the reality is, if we see things in our feed that are, it's a blatant self-promotional sort of sales pitchy, or in a DM or whatever, that turns me off. You know, it's, it's, if that's all you're doing on social media is saying how great you are, or selling your services or your product, or whatever, guess what? Nobody cares, right?
Exactly.
It's not, and that's the thing. It's not about you. It's about them. You need to really shift your mindset and thinking. And so here's the other tricky thing about being a ghostwriter is, my job is all about trust and confidentiality, right? It's, I have relationships with my clients. They trust that I'm not going to, you know, say, hey, guess what? You know, Ash is working with a ghostwriter, you know. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the idea is that it should be seamless. So, you know, I'll have potential clients come to me and say, oh, well, can you share with me what you've done with other people? And I say, unfortunately, no, I cannot, but I wouldn't do that with yours either. So it's really important for me to demonstrate my expertise, right? By writing in my own name, which I do prolifically, right? I mean, I'm all over, I'm certainly on LinkedIn. I write for Forbes, but I'm on other social channels as well. So it's, I it's very much an intentional choice to do that. I have never taken an ad out or done something that's been like, buy this, you know. I mean, even when the book came out, it was like, we, you know, we felt icky about like, okay, here's the book if you want it, you know, but yeah, it's, I don't, and that's a personal choice, and it doesn't mean it's right for everyone, but for somebody who is talking about communicating, connecting better, and that's really what I'm trying to help leaders do, I need to lead by example. I need to say this, and this is what's working, and it works for me. I get all, with the exception of like referrals from clients, which are always nice and help. All of my clients have come from social media. It's, you know, they've come through, they've either seen my stuff on Forbes, or, you know, read something on LinkedIn or Twitter, or wherever, and they'll, and then they'll, you know, come to me either through LinkedIn directly, or they'll go to my website and they'll send me something. And I have little, you know, people contact me, and I'm like, how did you hear about me? And it's always that, you know, unless it's like, oh, a friend sent me or whatever. So I know it works, you know, and this, this works for me. So,
it does.
I feel very strongly, obviously. I don't want to be
right.
And it doesn't align with who I am. Me saying, I'm great.
It is. And it is off-putting. And, but this is taking a different approach, focusing on adding value rather than just blatantly selling out, hey, you know what, this is my service. Because I get like so many LinkedIn invitations on a everyday basis where the introduction, you know, even before connecting on LinkedIn, the very first line would be like, hey, do you want to increase your numbers? Or hey, yeah, I can help you, you know, get to the top.
Oh my gosh,
So that is the introduction line. And, you know, it's just definitely
it's the
so
worst. Stop doing that, people.
Yeah.
Well, even worse, I don't know about you, but I'll get those canned messages because you know that just they're being sent out in mass where it's obvious they haven't even
read the profile.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're an expert in banking. And I'm like, no. Or your team and your employees. I'm like, I am a solopreneur. Like, no. You know, or you need help with social media. I'm like, no,
exactly.
No, I don't.
No, I can relate to this like 100%, you know.
Yes.
Probably there should be a LinkedIn course on how to just focus on serving people first.
It's really basic.
Right.
You know, if you're reaching out to somebody, pretend you're standing right in front of them. What would you say? Would you first meet somebody? You're not going to be like, hey.
You can't
do that at a party. You probably shouldn't do it, you know,
in
the initial time you meet somebody or trying to connect with them. Or it's like, I can do this. It's like, no, I don't want to connect with you then.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that. And my LinkedIn, there are so many invitations that I don't accept because it kind of starts off with that. So they don't even want to kind of go through the profile to see what I do.
It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You're like,
it does.
And that's your first impression. That is what is sticking, right?
Oh my gosh,
have some self-awareness and realize that's not serving you.
Yes. So I really like this approach and the quality of writing as well, right? The powerful messages and the videos that you put out too. So naturally, we get kind of drawn to kind of knowing you more, and then that will go through the website and it will happen, but it's not like out there on the face. So I really like that approach as well. And there are a couple of questions that I want to kind of address quickly before we go to the next segment. These were more on the, since you are the expert with respect to social media and writing, could you share your top three tips for writing effective social media posts?
Okay. Well, I mean, this probably applies to everything, but I will say the first thing I always stress is clarity. And what I mean by that is you need to immediately focus in on having one takeaway, not five things, one takeaway. Because you want to be crystal clear with what are you trying to say? What do you want your readers after they read this thing to? So clarity is really important. I would say too, that is closely related to that is to not ramble on, to not, you know, what I've seen it a million times. So if it's a video, say, people take, it's an 8-minute video. If I even see that, I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to. It's like, well, I don't know. Just get to the point. And if it's in writing, same thing. You don't need a long preamble to get to it. You'll lose people. There, unfortunately, there's a lot of competition for attention. And if you don't get to the point, no one's going to care and they're going to keep moving. So be clear and have one takeaway, but also get to the point. We talked about this a little bit, but I always say serve, don't sell. So if you want to be effective with your social media, it's really about building a relationship with your audience and providing value. You know, nobody wants to follow the person that is constantly hitting them up with buy this, do this, do, you know, like that's just the annoying person, right? But if you're somebody who's consistently putting out content that is either how to do this or you had an experience and you, even if you had a supposed failure, but you learned something from it, I mean, it make it personal, make it about you. Make it relatable so people go, oh, okay. Because the other thing is if you only share the wins, and you know the people I'm talking about who are total, it's always me boasting, I'm great, my company this, and it's like a humble brag. That's kind of gets annoying too because nobody is perfect. Yeah. And you know when you show more authenticity and genuineness, I think people respond because they see that you're a real human being. And that draws them to you. So I would say that would be the other thing. And I know I'm probably doing more than three, but the other things that go together really, so the three things I usually stress are clarity, but then the other two are consistency and discipline. So when it comes to social media, it's not enough to put something out once, you know, to post and ghost. That doesn't work. It is, you have to play the long game and you have to consistently show up. You have to consistently put your thoughts out there. And it's just because when you do that, it's a learned behavior for yourself, certainly, but also for your audience. They will then come to expect that you will be posting. And maybe you're only posting once, twice, three times, whatever it is. They'll come to expect it.
Yeah.
You should do that enough so when you don't, somebody raises their hand or sends you a message, where are you? What happened? You know, so that because they will come to expect it. So there's consistency there. Mm. And the consistency also, by the way, should be reflective in your tone of voice. So I like to say that you should write the way you speak. So there should be some alignment and congruency with, you know, if someone were to meet you in person and read something you wrote, that it's not like, oh, this is two different people. It should be all the same. So whatever that is, be you. And then discipline, certainly discipline to maintain that regular posting cadence, but also the discipline to stay in your wheelhouse, right? To not veer so far away from, like we talked about this early on, like you really need to stay in your wheelhouse of kind of your expertise. And I tell clients it's one, two, maybe three things that you want people to come to, come to associate with you as the expert. I use this example for myself. You know, if I were to suddenly start posting on cryptocurrency or blockchain, people would be like, what? Like, what?
They can't
What's
relate.
Happening? Maybe
yeah.
she, it, and it's, this is the thing. You can have a million hobbies. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have lots of interest, but you need to really pick your lane. You need to be intentional with it and understand that whatever you're putting out there, it lives on, right? And people come to go, okay, with this. But if you're putting out, you know, something that's seemingly from left field, again, you're going to confuse people.
Right.
And then they're going to start to tune out because they're like, I have no idea what she's about. I can't figure it out. And I'm not going to spend the time to do it. So yeah, those are the big things. And then the other thing with social media, I will say, yes, write an effective and compelling post. But the other half of that is once you've posted, make sure that you go back and engage. Because if you put something out there, think of it as starting a conversation.
Yeah.
And anyone that comments and likes it or any reaction, whatever it is, or they send you a DM, that's opening a door. That's opening a discussion. That's opening a conversation. Mm. And that's the way to get to know them. So make sure you go back and engage, acknowledge that they had a comment and reply. It's simple. I mean, it doesn't have to be time consuming, but if, again, you get into that practice, that's the other side of it is, okay, you toil and you freak out. Oh, I got to post something. You post it, but then make sure you go back and you monitor that and kind of see. So those would be my top tips, I would say. That's more than three.
That's amazing. No, I liked all the points. Yeah, you're really good, Amy. No, thanks for sharing those. I actually wrote it down, you know. So as you were talking, yes. Yeah. And I loved, you know, starting with clarity. It is so important what you mentioned, you know, having just that one takeaway in one post, you know, do not confuse the audience. I think it's so important to know that because I'm so used to kind of reading long posts and they give so much spaces and then it goes for like half a page, 3/4 of a page. At the end of it, you know, the message is kind of all mixed up. It's so important to keep it short, sweet, but with just one takeaway and the relationship part that you mentioned too. I mean, it is so important. I 100% agree with that. In fact, you know, the podcast that I'm a newbie podcaster. I have about like ours is probably like the episode number 20 or 21 or so. So that's pretty much it. And everybody that I have talked to are the relationships that I have built on LinkedIn so far.
Absolutely. That's so true, right?
I mean,
you know what the thing is too, and I will say this about writing and posting on social media.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, you know, I don't advertise, but here's the thing about putting your wisdom and your point of view and kind of what matters most to you out into the world. People begin to feel like they know, like, and trust you. And when somebody feels like they know you and they like you and they trust you, that's when they're going to come to you either like you did for me, you know, like, oh, being, you know, because I feel like, okay, Amy would be a good guest on my podcast, or they'll come to you because they want to hire you either into their company or if you have your own business, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, it's all within your control, right? This is what the great thing is. It's not relying on external sources. This is all, you have the power. So you can exercise that.
Right. Yes. Right. It is very different from where you actually just apply to jobs on a job board and it just goes into like a black box and we have no idea what's going on. Here, I think it is that relationships and networks. In fact, actually, even in my corporate job, what I have seen is network and referrals are like the number one source for us to even hire people, you know?
Sure.
So if a good word comes from somebody within the company about such a person, obviously there's so much of interest around that person because, you know, somebody knows and has seen the work and can vouch for the credibility aspect of it. I think that's where social media comes into play. And all the rest of the points, I mean, it's amazing. The consistency matters, engagement and discipline. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with everything. I'm struggling a bit now with the consistency part. I know that, you know, you're super, super consistent, Amy. I do see your posts all the time. And, you know, I kind of put out content whenever I post out an episode and all of that. But it is hard. It's really hard to be consistent. That's some probably like for me. To work on that aspect of social media. That's something that
we
need to do.
You know, consistency. Here's the thing too about that is I don't just decide the day of or before what I'm going to post. I do. There's a strategy. I do kind of map out my month. I map out ahead, the weeks ahead to kind of go, okay. And I do have a certain cadence. Like I'll always, almost always, unless it's a holiday, I will always have a new Forbes article out on a Monday. You know, I usually follow on a Tuesday with a visual. I try to mix up my content to see how, you know, kind of, so there is some method to my madness here, but it's like everything else. It's just putting time in and planning. And I try to, for those that are trying to figure out, oh my God, how could I possibly do this? If you batch your content, meaning that you, in one sitting, you're creating multiple pieces of content, then it's not going to, then you'll be a kind of ahead of the game. And if you can get into that, you know, like for me, Mondays, I try to reserve for, planning and my own writing and podcast, different things, kind of having that day where I will not schedule any client calls. You know, I'll do maybe a podcast or other types of things.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of getting into that too. So, and it becomes much easier. And once you start, it's easier to stay because you're already kind of like, okay, what do I have going? And you know, I'm human. I mean, there are days, there are times where it's like, or I go on vacation. I'm like, nope.
That's right.
When we still could go on vacation. Right. But so, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. I mean, that's the thing. Just do the best you can and just keep showing up. Right. Mm. That's what's most important is to not give up.
Yeah. So say a potential client wants to work with you, right? And what is the process that you normally follow? So say if somebody wants to just call you up and say, hey, Amy, can you help me? Is there, you know, like a process that you follow, like you sit with them and then figure out, because not everybody knows that there is a story inside them, you know?
Right. Well, it depends. So I have the two sides of my business, but typically if they reach out to me on LinkedIn or through my website, I'll share my process. And the process is similar, though a little bit different. So with ghostwriting, it's really more about, I work on a monthly retainer basis and we have a weekly standing call. So same day, same time every week of a half an hour. And that's really to promote consistency and discipline, right? And we sit down and it often just begins as sort of like, you know, what's going on in your world? And it's a conversation. So most of my clients are very verbally fluent. They have no problem talking and riffing on ideas and things that have happened and relaying experiences and stories and insights, you know, in business or personally or something that they saw in the news or read somewhere kind of triggered sort of a thought they had. So when we are having that conversation, they are talking and I am taking copious notes. I'm a huge note taker, handwritten notes.
Yeah.
And it's in the course of that conversation, it's really, I will ask more questions and I will try to help them. The biggest, other than coming away with, you know, a ghostwritten post at the end of it, it's really about getting clarity for them too. It begins, it's funny. I don't market myself this way and I'm certainly not a coach or a therapist, but I've had my clients tell me, oh my gosh, you helped me feel so understood. And
I was just thinking exactly the same right now, because when you were actually talking, I just exactly thought of therapist or, you know, coach.
Well, I mean, it is, you know, a trust-based relationship, yeah. You know, and yeah. It's funny though. I don't think, have I ever met a ghostwriting person, a client in person? I don't think so. Mm. You know, so it's, there's a lot of trust that built up, and this, like everything else, it's a relationship, you know, it's not a one and done. We talk every week, and this goes on for months, sometimes years. Right. So, but that's the process really. And once we, you know, figure that out, from that conversation comes one, maybe two, posts. And I do write articles and I do write LinkedIn updates. Those are most popular. But when I first started, it was more about articles. Now it's 99% is about updates. The shorter, there are like 1300 characters on LinkedIn, including any hashtags or whatever. And my clients find it harder to write fewer words to get to that concise and compelling post. And they're like, well, I can write, but it goes on and on and on and on and on. And they're like, yeah, you can't do that. You know? So, so it helps them to gain clarity because they're forced to, we talk through this and say, and then, you know, we'll have this conversation for half an hour and I'll write something usually within a day or so. And then I share it on Google Docs and they're able to comment or do whatever. And more often than not, they're like, oh my God, yeah, that's it. And it's really about helping them kind of wrap their arms around all that stuff. And then, that's it. So that's how
And I feel that posts perform better than the long length articles on LinkedIn is what I've seen. Mm-hmm. The shorter posts, I think they do seem to perform pretty much better than, I've seen a drastic slowdown in the way people actually publish articles. There was a huge hype when they introduced the article section of it initially, but then I do see posts more often. So,
yeah, it's, you know, and it's funny because I've seen the same and, you know, people are like, oh, the algorithm's saying this, or now it's video, or now it's this. And it's just like, you know what, whatever works for you, do that. And with my clients, we always start, I will always recommend that they do the updates just so they can get into that regular cadence, you know, because if they want articles, they want to stay in the same base retainer, they're going to get fewer pieces of content because the article obviously takes me longer to write and it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But when we start with the updates, at least for the first month, then they have something or one or more things every week to publish so they can get used to that. And then if they want, you know, it's flexible enough that they say, well, maybe I can do one article this month and then like two updates or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it you know, it depends on their needs. Or they're like, oh my gosh, Amy, you know, because I've been publishing so much, some trade publication wants me to write a guest article on whatever. Can you help me? It's like, okay, well, we can do that this month. So it works. And I think, you know, I'm a proponent of articles. I write Forbes articles. I publish on LinkedIn too. But I think it's just, you know, if you are just starting out and you're not regularly sharing stuff, stick with the shorter stuff just to you know, get people kind of into that habit of like, hey, okay. And there's some people that prefer going deep and reading articles. There are some people that just want the top line mostly right now. It seems like most people just want that top line.
Yeah.
So there's no harm in repurposing content. So maybe you have a longer article that you can condense into a short update, right? Mm-hmm. I'll often do that with mine or create it into a visual format or something because people consume information differently.
Differently. It is very helpful. So thanks for sharing that, Amy, you know, kind of breaking down the process. And I will make sure that I kind of share your website details as well in my show notes. That way people know kind of where to, you know, contact you.
Sure.
So, all right. And I know, time is just flying. But I want to kind of include a fun round of questions too. Okay. So I'm not going to let you go before that. Okay. No. So the last segment of the podcast was more like a rapid fire round, just to kind of know you a bit more. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing is, tell us something about you that no one knows and something that is not very evident on your social media profiles.
Okay. I don't know if this is on this. I don't think it is. And I don't really talk about this a lot publicly. Yeah. But I am working on my debut novel. So a psychological thriller. Yes. So I love reading thrillers, my favorite genre. And I had an idea. I mean, this is I say I'm writing it because it's a process, right? And I'm fortunate I have a lot of client work. This is good, but it also means less time to work on that. But yes, a thriller novel. So,
I would have not expected that because that sounds really interesting. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by people and what motivates them and their behavior. And so all of that sort of psychological diving, if I wasn't a writer, I'd probably be a psychologist or somebody studying it or something. And neuroscience, all that fascinates me.
Yeah.
And so human behavior. So it's definitely, I say it's kind of like Brené Brown meets Dan Brown, probably, you know, so something like that. If that helps sums it up.
It will be interesting for sure. So I'll keep an eye out for that. Your biggest source of inspiration.
So the biggest source of inspiration, honestly, is my curiosity. I'm an insanely curious person, just the way the world works and the way people work. My inspiration really comes from my everyday life. And my weird brain does this. It likes to connect very disparate things, you know, and find new combinations. So, you know, it could be something really mundane and boring, simple, but it's like, ooh, but what if we applied that to that? You know, what would happen? And that inspires me, you know. I mean, I'd love to have something very lofty, like, oh, I'm inspired by my kid. I mean, my kids certainly, yes, they're awesome, and my family and my husband. But it's really just, I think it's just sort of a
always kind it's of a mindset.
Curiosity. Yeah. And leading with that and letting that sort of, hey, why not? What if, you know, sort of thing.
Right.
So asking those questions and kind of going with it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So nobody had actually answered that way. So that's really interesting. Yeah. No, it's your creative brain.
Yeah.
So
it's a creative brain. That's right. Better, yes.
So nothing would be boring, you know, even the mundane activities. That's good. So name any habit or a routine that you had to incorporate that has impacted your productivity and success.
Okay, this one, absolutely, I learned this year and it has been a game changer. It is protecting my time. Now, that seems simple. Like you think, well, sure, whatever, boundaries. But honestly, when you're I'm solopreneur and whatever, and I have clients and I want to be available and you're trying. But I told you, Mondays I keep for myself. Something as simple as figuring out like, yeah, I'm not going to have client calls every day. I'm going to have my recurring, ghostwriting calls either Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays, never on a Friday or Monday because, well, holidays or people go, it's never great. And then, you know what, while I'm at it, I'm not going to do any client calls on Monday because that gives me time that's dedicated to doing what I need to do. I also dictate the hours. I only do things. And then most recently, protecting my time has meant turning off my, I don't know, sacrilege for social media ghostwriter, turning off my social media notifications on my phone.
Yeah.
Because you get distracted, you get pulled away, and I can't do the deep work and the writing that I need to do if I constantly hear a ding or I see the dreaded red, on my phone.
It's just so tempting to kind of check through.
Yes. But it is a game changer. I thought, oh gosh, this is going to, but no, because now it's very much about intention, right? It's attention and intention. So when I go in, when I go to check my, I'm there for that purpose. I'm not just mindlessly scrolling or procrastinating on something I should be doing. So protecting that has been huge. And I will tell you, it's like, you think it's not a big deal. You think, oh, I'm not spending that much time. Yes, you are. You can lose an hour or two. You know, it's funny the way that creeps up. So yes, protecting my time has been the single biggest habit shift and being proactive about that to take it back and feel good about that. You know, there hasn't been a conflict where someone's like, well, no, you need to do it. I mean, you know, I'm reasonable, but no, it's like, no, these are my set hours. And I used, scheduling software. So, people can find that also protects my time because I don't have to
go back
and forth 100 times.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. And then it makes it easier for everyone. So yes, most definitely with authority, I would say that.
Yeah. No, it is a simple but very important advice that you shared. You're absolutely right in terms of, you know, protecting your own time and setting your own priorities. And I have seen that, you know, I used to have Facebook as an app on my cell phone and I had to literally like uninstall it because for me, I used to like, okay, I had my email going, I had my other things going. And then I used to just constantly check whenever I saw that red notification, right? Even if it's one notification or two notifications.
Yes, you have to clear it.
Yeah. So it was very tempting to kind of constantly check through it. And it's such a relief. Mm-hmm. Now I just uninstalled it on the phone. Now if I have to, then I don't store my password. So I have to literally log into Facebook and type my password. That has kind of significantly reduced the number of times that I'm checking it. And it's definitely helped. Coming to my last signature question, I want to ask you, Amy, what would be your best advice for converting a passion into professional success?
I would say, okay, you mentioned this earlier, and this is something that I do live until you mentioned it, I'd forgotten it. But the best advice I'd ever received was to stop hiding, because, you know, if you have this passion and you want to do it professionally, at some point, You just need to start doing it. You need to stop hiding. You need to, you know, step out of your comfort zone and do it. And that can be terrifying. But I think too, going back to kind of what we said before, but, you know, changing, you know, the way you talk to yourself, the story you tell yourself, but also the story you tell others. When you change the story to really more about selling your destiny, meaning what you're converting that passion into professional success versus your history, what you've always done, people will go, oh, okay. You know, so you need to be talking about it as if you're already doing it, because chances are you're doing it. You're on the side, right?
Yeah.
For many years, as I was and other people doing, but it's making that shift, a very conscious and intentional shift. When you talk about what you're doing, you need to talk about, I am a writer, I in the present tense, or I've been doing this and this is what I do, so that others learn about it. And you need to be brave. And let others know, this is what I do. And sometimes it's just that leap of faith of like, oh my gosh, but I don't have any paying clients yet.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying me to do this, but,
right.
but you're doing it. So that means, you know, if you're writing, you're a writer. You know, you are doing that. And I think that's the thing, is you just need to start. Stop hiding and just start, and be brave enough to be talking about it, because you are doing it. Just talk about it in a different sense. And you know, with that confidence, even though it's scary, I know from experience, it's terrifying, but to believe in yourself enough that others will too. So,
No, that's a super powerful message. And it is not easy at all. It's very much terrifying, you know, but just to come out and show your authentic self and take off that mask. And it's super, super hard,
but worth it.
exactly. Yes. And I love the way you put that. The stories need to talk about your destiny versus history. That's another.
Sell really your destiny, powerful, not your history.
It's another powerful way to look through, you know, what you want to be. So thank you so much for sharing, you know, such powerful message, Amy. And I know I've taken more than an hour of your time already.
Thank you. It was a wonderful conversation. Thank you for taking the time with me.
I enjoy talking to you. And thank you again so much.
Thank you.
That was my guest, Amy Blaschka, talking about her nonlinear career path, which took her from working in advertising, leading a nonprofit organization for almost 10 years before leaping into her true passion, which is writing and becoming a social media ghostwriter and a career storyteller. One important takeaway that stood out for me from this episode is that if you're passionate about something and you want to pursue that work professionally, then at some point or another, you need to stop hiding and you need to start sharing your work on social media. It will be terrifying, no doubt, but it's definitely worth it if you identify your true passion and then start working towards it. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you do like the show, please do write a review and rate the show on iTunes. That would be really helpful for me to keep the show going. I will be back very soon with another power-packed episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you so much for listening in.